I appreciate the sensitivity. Kol hakavod. We'll wait one more minute and we'll begin. Nobody needs a chumash today. It's a Pesach. Tzipa, maybe in a few minutes you could put the link in the chat. I know it's not going to die now because it seems like everybody that's on has it. But, or maybe not. Maybe you want to put it in.
Yeah, I can do that.
Thanks.
How's Chaim Mishka doing? Any updates on the baby?
No, we don't know yet when the breast will be. I mean, the bilirubin level went down a little bit, but not substantially, or not enough to set the day of the breast. But Baruch Hashem, every day, a little bit better. It's kind of a family trait, so nobody here is too surprised or, put out by it. All right, we're going to begin. It's 10 a.m. Good morning to everybody. We're learning the Sicha Chag HaPesach in Chilek Yud Zayin, Sicha Aleph on Chag HaPesach. Sif Aleph. Chag HaPesach Nikra B'Shloisha Shemes Toyarim. There are three names given for this Yom Tov for Chag HaPesach, or Toyarim descriptions. So the names of the Yom Tov are descriptive. Aleph, B'Torah Shebichsav Nikra B'Shem Chag HaMatzis. In the Torah itself, it's called Chag HaMatzis. Beis, B'Nusach HaTfila Nikva Lohisiv Chag HaMatzis HaZeh Zman Cheresenu. In the Nusach of our Tfila, the Chachamim established that this Yom Tov should be called Chag HaMatzis HaZeh Zman Cheresenu, the time of our freedom or redemption. And Gimel B'Loshen Razal, the Chachamim also called this Yom Tov V'chein B'Loshen B'nei Adam, and that is how it was established in the vernacular. All people, Nikroim Gam Kol Shemayis Yamin B'Shem Chag HaPesach. This Yom Tov is called Chag HaPesach. That's the most, as we know, the most popular name for the Yom Tov. It's called Pesach. Eish loymar, shelachag ze nekuda klolis v'teichin ikri, v'nekuda zu kailela shloishas inyonim. Rebbe says we might say that this Yom Tov has one axiomatic, one basic idea, one basic theme, and that is its main content. And this theme, however, includes three aspects. And these three aspects, haboim lidei bitui b'shlosha shemais elu, these three aspects find expression in these three names of the Yom Tov. V'chivon shaseder b'tera af hu tera. And because we know, at least it taught us for sure, that the Seder, order in which things appear in the Torah, is also Torah, meaning Hayra, it's also a lesson. Nimtza, Sheshleshus Hashem as Binyanehim Vahira Oiseihim, Boim Lefi Seder Hashivusam. So, based on the fact that order is instructive, it means that these three names, as they evolved, as they were handed down to us, and the content of these three names and the lessons of these three names come to us in the order of their importance. First and foremost comes the idea of Chag HaMatzis. Shem HaChag B'Torah Shebichtav. That is the name that the Torah gives this Yom Tov. Acharav Ba'inid Zman Cheresenu. And afterwards, words come, idea of Zman Chayrasenu, Shehu Matbea Shetavu Chachamim, Anshe Knesset Hagdela. This name is like a coin that the Chachamim cast or stamped. La'amrei b'tfila, and this is how we refer to the Yom Tov in our tefila. Va'achareihem, and afterwards comes Chag HaPesach, Shehu Shem Mekuba B'loshem Hazal B'loshem B'nei Adam. And that is the most accepted, most widely accepted and most widely used name, both by the Chachamim in the literature, as it were, and in the popular field and by people. Beis. We're in Si'if Beis in the Sicha Chag HaPesach Aleph in Chelek Yud Zayin, and Tzipa has kindly put the link into the chat again. Zman Yitzias Mitzrayim hu kemevor benevuas Yecheskel Leidas Am Yisrael. Like Yecheskel describes in his Nevuah, our leave-taking from Mitzrayim, the so-called Exodus, is the time of the birth of Bnei Yisrael. V'hatam lekach shadavar mitur b'loshan leida. And the reason that this is described as birth, ein rak mishum sheba'isa shasu Bnei Yisrael la'am, is not only, and not even the Rebbe will say primarily, because that is when we became a nation. Zayis nitan lemar lahabdil. There's always a birth date for a particular people, a particular civilization, a particular nation. So that's not what's so distinctive, and that's not what is the unparalleled factor. The Rebbe explains that the reason it's called a birth is because when we became a nation, we actually became a completely different type of existence. So it's not just that, you know, we now were worthy of a different term because we went from being a family or a tribe or a motley crew to an actual nation. That happens to a lot of people, a lot of civilizations. No, what happened here is that we were completely transformed. Hatachlis v'hakavona. The purpose, the intention, and the fruition of leaving him was matan Torah, was accepting the Torah, was the giving of the Torah. As it says clearly in the Chumash, b'hitziachas ha'amim Mitzrayim, tavdun es halakim alahar azeh. They take the nation out of Mitzrayim, they will serve God on this mountain. This is one of the reasons that Shavuos was established. Zman Matan Chayrasenu was established by accounting 7 weeks from Pesach. Lahayre is to teach us Shechag Hashavuos Matan Torah. Who hemshech litzias Mitzrayim leidas Am Yisrael, to underscore the connection between Pesach and Shavuos, that Shavuos is a continuation of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which was the birth of Am. Before we turn the page, look at footnote 6. And footnote 6 came on the words Mitzias Chadasha, that the Rebbe says that we became a new existence. And he says, V'chein b'tzias Mitzrayim ha'isa ha'zgolas ha'geirus de b'nei Yisrael, that when we left Mitzrayim, this was the beginning of the conversion process of b'nei Yisrael, u'b'matan Torah gemar ha'geirus, and at Matan Torah was the final aspect of the conversion process. And concerning a ger, it says in the Gemara, asher ger shen is gayer, kikotan shenoy le'doymi, dummy, that a person that converts is compared to a newborn. All of their prior lineage is literally done away with, and they're like a newborn. They have, from this perspective, no mother, no father, sisters, brothers, and so on and so forth. Literally newborn. Matzias Chadasha. Kiloimar. Now we're going back into the Pnim, we're going into the Sicha itself. And we're in the fourth paragraph, Kilomar in Siv Beis. That is to say, Latest Am Yisrael book, Echad Am Havim Hafichasam La'am Shel Torah, that the birth of Bnei Yisrael came at the same time and was, it can't be separated from the fact that we became the Am Shel Torah, the nation of Torah. Kol Mehusay Shel Yehudi, Gam Ki Yachid, Hi HaTorah. So we could talk about this for a few hours, that the whole Mehus, the whole essence of a Jew is the Torah. And not just as a nation, that's our essence. As an individual, that's essence. And I'll just say for a moment, that's why we, as you know, we who are privileged have been schooled by the Rebbe's Torah. You know, when a Jew tries to tell us that they're an agnostic, that they're, you know, they're non-observant, they're a bad Jew, they're a lapsed Jew, they're an atheist, it's like they don't realize that it's falling on deaf ears, that they're not impressing us, that anything they're going to say is not going to impact how we look at them. And it's not just like a PR stunt. It's because the Rebbe taught us this, that a Jew is Am Shel Torah. That's it. That's where the whole Matzias of Mitzvah. And the idea that we became a new existence is not just because when we were in Mitzrayim, we had descended to the lowest rung in a spiritual ladder. And therefore, because we were in this very, very low and depraved place, we were not in a position to be proper receptacles to accept, to digest, to incorporate the Torah. Ba'adraba, on the contrary, ba'aydim shkuim b'memtesh aritum, haya matzavam b'nikud l'Torah l'kdusha. On the contrary, when we were still heavily mired in the 49 levels of impurity of Tuma, we certainly were not able or capable to accept the Torah. We were in a situation that was contrary to Torah and to holiness. But that is not the most important. That's not the basic thing, the transformation that happened. But primarily it was because at that point, before Matan Torah, the Torah was like a confidant that gave the Eibishter great pleasure. In other words, it was in the Eibishter's domain. It was chemda genuza shegenuza lecha. It was a hidden treasure that was hidden from you, was hidden from anybody but Hashem. He nalis legamri min hanivraim. At that point, the Torah transcended anything having to do with creations or creation. V'lachin avor Yisrael b'yosim ba'elam hazeh bechlal balachas kama v'kama b'yosim b'mitzrayim. And so vis-a-vis the Jews who were generally in this world, and how much more so that they were in Mitzrayim and that they were so deeply entrenched in the Memtesh Shari Tuma, arehi davar chadash legamri shaloi begidram. So, of course, the Torah is a new thing that is altogether not in their category. It's not in their neighborhood, as it were. So the Rebbe says, and so therefore, once we understand that, muzbarim shleishas hashemais, we're now in a position to understand and to explain the three names, Chag HaMatzos, Zman Chereseinu, and Chag HaPesach, Hamivatim es shalosh hatnuos ubeseder zedafka. So these names of this yomtiv, they express and they describe the three movements, the three phases, the three stages, and in this order precisely, hanidrashos that are necessary kidei litzur metzius chadasha, in order to fashion a new entity. And the Rebbe is going now to explain. Gimel. We're in Seif Gimel. V'yuvon al yidei dugma miseder halimut shel Rav im Talmid. And the Rebbe says, I'm going to concretize this for you. I'm going to bring it down to you. I'm going to bring it down in an analogy. In the analogy of a Rav, a teacher who's teaching a student. Kasher hu melamdei dvar sechel, shatalmud mitzad atzmai bekoyach sechlei hu, eino yochel lamed olav. When a teacher teaches a student an intellectual idea, that the student on his own, through his own intellectual capabilities, through his own cognition, would not be able to understand this. And for the students, it's a completely novel idea. And not because he never happened upon this idea. The novelty is rather in the fact that this whole idea transcends the intellectual capacity of the student. So when this is the case, so first and foremost, in order for the Talmud, in order for the student to accept this idea, for this person to actually learn the idea, the first thing that has to happen is bittul, is self-abnegation. The student has to accept that there is something they don't know. They have to ready themselves to learn something new. K'maymer Chazal, like the Chazal teaches, Shetalmud Chacham Sheyeshev Nei Rabbi, that a Talmud Chacham that sits before his teacher, Sarich Sheyiyu Sitzav Nitfes Mar, Mirus Machmas Ema, that this student has to sit in such a way that his lips drip bitterness. And the Rebbe explains it's a bitterness because of fear, or more precisely, awe of a teacher. And I think that this is something that's very missing today, this idea, this first idea of opening oneself up to something new, because I think there's a lot of people who just feel like they know everything. And when you know everything, you can't open yourself up to something novel. And it's kind of tragic because that's step one. That explains further in the brackets, ki b'kai chesav uvesich lehu, eina yachal lekabel leklei davar sechel chadar zeh, shalamayla mimitziyosai. Because with his own cognition, with his own intelligence, he's not able to accept and he's not able to incorporate this new idea because it simply transcends his existence. V'dafka habitel, and so it's specifically through self-abnegation, Heder Hametzius, the absence of his existence, as it were, who kli muchshar, that he becomes an appropriate vessel, lekach, to accept this new idea, Valderech Lashon Chazal, and like the Chazal taught us, kli reikon machazik, it's specifically the empty vessel that can hold something, because a vessel that is full, if you're going to try to put something into it, it's just going to overflow, it's not going to be able to hold it. So that's step one. Ulam achakach, but afterwards, muchrach haTalmud l'shtadel l'hasig es hasvara. Then the student must try to actually grasp the idea. Ulashem kach hu muchrach l'shtamish b'sechol hamatir shalei. And to do this, he must utilize his own cognitive intelligence, his own metzias, as it were, his own existence. In the brackets, shechein yachadim zay shadavka kli reikon machazik, because at the same time that we said that it's davka the empty vessel that can hold something that you can pour something into, harehu muchach liyos kli. But at the same time, we're saying he has to be a kli, has to be a vessel, and he has to be a kli sholem. He has to be a vessel. That does not have a hole, because once a vessel has a hole, it obviates its purpose. And therefore, it's not enough that this person should have self-abnegation. So first there has to be the bittul, but then there has to be, or maybe even at the same time, there has to be the preparation for this person to open his mind, as it were, sheyia keli hamekabel umachazik, so that his seichel can be a vessel that is able to accept and grasp the idea. V'tachlis halimut hi Shesayf Saif Yiskayim Boy Betalmud Enish Idaita Darabi. At the end, what's the tachlin? What's the goal? The goal is at the end, the Talmud should become, Koi should become Adaita Darabi on the level of his teacher's ideas. Umamela. Afal Pisha Bimatsovai Ata Huadayin Mushlal Minhayachilas Lahaven is Daita Darabi. Even though at this point he's still not at the level where he can understand the thought process of his teacher. And therefore, the Rav has to be mashpia. He has to give over to the Talmud a way that is cracked. It's mitzumtzemes. It's in a tzimtzum. She be'ercha shel sechel ha-Talmud. The teacher has to he has to break down the idea, let's say, or obfuscate certain aspects of the idea. There has to be a tzimtzum that is in keeping with the cognition of the student. And it's true that at this point, the depth of the intellectual prowess of the teacher has to be beheled, has to be obscured in order to give it over to the student. But at the same time, at this point, there still has to be, on the part of the student, a movement of leave-taking of his limitations. And he has to try to elevate himself, has to try to elevate seichel to the level of the seichel of his rav. V'dafka al yidei zeh yuchal la'amayt seif al dayt to derab. And only in this fashion will he, at the very end, be able to reach the understanding of his teacher. His teacher has a seichel that is of a different category altogether. I just want to go, before we go to Siv Dalit, to the end of the second to last paragraph in the parentheses. The Rebbe says, "Ve'ilu emek haseichel." The depth of the seichel of the Rav, kefishu hu etzel Rav nimtza behelem b'hashpas haseichel ha-mitzumtzemes, is found in hidden or shrouded fashion in the seichel ha-mitzumtzemes, in the tzimtzum of the idea that the teacher is conveying to the Rav. And when I read this and read this again, I feel like the Rebbe is telling us what he did with us. You know, that he gave us teachings, and in the teachings were hidden and were shrouded and were obscured these deep, 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 deep radical idea that we now have to unpack, because it's all lies there. It's all within there. It's just a matter of us unpacking it. And it's definitely taking time, but I think that we're the first step is bit to understand what we didn't understand and what we still don't understand. Siv Dalit. Vihine l'chayr yesh l'hakshayz al seydazeh. You might actually question this particular order of things. That tchila sifsayz of neitfayz mar. First, there has to be bittel. At first, the lips have to be dripping bitterness. V'achar kach ha'tnuasiyas. And only afterwards, you become your own mitzvahs, you feel your own self, your own existence, you become a kli. Why? Why might you question this? Because Issa b'Gemara, because it says in the Gemara, Rabba, this is the way Rabba taught, Mikaimi defasach luhu l'rabbanan amar milsa dibdi chusa. At first, the very first thing he did to open up his students, as it were, is that he said a joke. Ubatche Rabbanon, and the students laughed. L'saif, after that, Yosef be'imasa, they sat in awe. ufasach b'shmaita, and then he started to teach. Hare. So it seemed based on this order of how, you know, what the Gemara is teaching us about Rabba's pedagogical approach, shebetchilos niftach libam, that first, right, the Gemara tells us, mikame defasach lehu l'rabbanan amar milsa debtichusa. First, he opened up their hearts by telling them a joke. In order to make them appropriate vessels to understand his Torah. And according to the Gemara, only afterwards did they sit in awe. The idea of Yira and Bitul. So the Rebbe explains. The Rebbe says, I'm going to explain. Inyan Milsa Dibdichusa Hanidrash Mekame Defasach Lehu L'Rabbanan. The idea of this joke that was necessary before he opened up to teach his to Hurak Hachana Klolis L'Chlolus Halimut. It's a general preparation to the very general idea of learning. Aval ein ze chelek min halimut umiseder hashpa gufa. But it's not actually part of the learning. It's not part of the order of the hashpa itself. Bisignon acher, to say it a little bit differently, the Rebbe says. Milsa dibdichusa, the joke, loy ba kidei la'asis is a talmud roi l'kabel is dabar hasecho, was not meant to make the student into a proper vessel, as it were, to accept the intellectual idea. It was only in place to arouse the will by the students to become mekablim, to become accepting of what Rabbah was going to teach. Joke was meant to arouse the of one's intelligence to, in general, in of accepting. Aval hayachas v'hashayches ha'erech bin harav l'hatalmid. But the relationship and the connection and the degree between the Rav and the Talmud, hatluim b'hashpas ha'seichel l'talmud, that are connected and are dependent on the hashpa of the seichel to the Talmud, neitzrim rak kashiv be'imasa u'pasach b'shmeita, are only needed when you sit with awe, and only then can you be open to the teaching. It's a very, very, you say just a thing, a very profound thing that the Rebbe is teaching us here. That there has to be a state of opening oneself up to be this idea of ema, of yira, of awe, of realizing the greatness of what it is one is about to learn. Hey, al pi bir zeh. So once we have this explanation, yuvan gam haseder b'mayim chazal, la'elam tehei smayel doicha v'yamin mikarevas. Position to understand is Maimar Chazal, Gemara Seita. This is a time of Gemara Seita that always left should push away and the right should draw closer. Demashma, and there are many, many ways of explaining this. I was going to explain in one way. Demashma Meseda Haloshin, and it's understood, it's implied in the order of this Maimar Chazal, that always there should be a movement of the left side pushing away, and only afterwards, yamin mikarevis. Okay, I think that most conventionally, the way we're taught this is that if you have to push someone away, it should only be with a small, it should only be a weaker, a left-handed kind of pushing away. And the yamin mikarebes, and the stronger movement towards any person should always be to bring them closer. But the Rebbe is now that this teaches us that in the order, there always has to be a movement of pushing away, as it were. We'll soon understand what that is, pursuant to what we're learning. And the right hand draws closer. V'had And the Rebbe says, it's not only that this aphorism is teaching us that when you push something away, it has to be with a yad small, only in a more subtle or left-handish way, weaker way. The weaker hand, and you always have the stronger movement has to be the right-handed movement has to bring closer. Says it's not, that's not the only lesson here. The gamal zeh shalachshei is kedali il, and even on this you might ask, as we asked above, keitzad oyla seida zeh bekona echad him amay manal mekame defasach lehu amar mikusa tnuah shel mikarebes. How does it jibe that first there has to be small doicha and then only a mimic karebes? How does it jibe with what Rabba did? Mikame first defasach luhu amar milsad b'chusa. First he said a joke, which is a tenuah shel mikarebes, and then l'saif, and only at the end words yasif bei masa, they sat in awe. Tenuah hafchis, the opposite. V'ayit, and yet another thing the Rebbe says, klalhu. Sheyamin kodemes l'smol. Generally, we always mention the right hand before the left. Okay, tzad ba kan smol lifnei yamin. So why in this Gemara does the smol, the left hand, come before the right? When normally we always talk about the right hand and the left hand. Uviyose yuksha. And there's even a greater difficulty. La'achar ha'maymer la'olam tehei. After the Gemara says that it should always be that the small daim mikarebes isa, then the Gemara says yetzer tinoik v'isha tehei small doicha v'yamin mikarebes. It then delineates that it's three specific things, and Rashi says that yetzer has to do with tashmish, with sexual intimacy. Tinoik has to do with how you educate, and Isha has to do with your relation with a wife. It should be small doicha b'yamin mikarebes. The left should push away and the right hand should draw close. Vihine. The Rebbe says, let's take the example of the tinek, the young child. Don't we always say that the seder chinuch of a child is sheyesh lezarze lelimud bedvarim sheheim ahuvim etzlei lekatnus shanav, that first you kind of make him enthusiastic and make him quick to come learn by teaching things that he loves that are fun, let's just say in our vernacular, that are appropriate for his young years. Kara. Call him, give him nuts, give him candies. Like the Rambam, it's at great length talks about how to make children excited and enthusiastic about learning. We understand from this, so it would seem that at least apropos a child, you have to do it the opposite way. First has to be yimin mikarebes. First you have to give stars and you have to give mitzvah notes and they'd be able to earn dollars and be the time, whatever. And that has to come before smoil daicha. You start with something more, let's just say, serious or harsh, the left-hand approach. Kinir ben muchash, like we see practically, she'im hagisha latino tias mal doicha betchila, that if it's going to be with anything less than great love and making it fun and et cetera, at the beginning, all of our litchoyste mehalimud lagamri, then it's very well that this kind of behavior on the part of the teacher will push the student away from ever wanting to learn at all. And of course, we know we bring the child into cheder and we put the honey on the aleph beis, that the aleph beis should be sweet for them, and the malach mechal throws candies. And we know that this is the accepted way. But in accordance with what the Rebbe taught in Siv Dalet, it's understood. The Maimel Olam Tehei Hanidun hurak seder hashpa lazulas bepoyel. Again, the Rebbe is differentiating that when the Gemara says la'olam tehei small doichan yimim karebes, this is when you're talking about the actual hashpa, when you're practically teaching. Ubazeh haseder hutchila small doichan ve'achakach yimim karebes. Canal sifim gimel dalit. When you're actually teaching, yes, there has to be this awe. There has to be this acceptance that leads to openness. I guess you have to say that when there's this blockage by arrogance, it's just impossible to overcome that impediment. It's impossible to learn without breaking down that arrogance and making oneself open to something new. Aval ein medubar by edus hapaulas di mimik harevas hanaseis kehachana mukdama lefnei hashpa. The Rebbe says, but this is not talking about the actions that are absolutely necessary that have to be done as a preparation, as a necessary preparation before the hashpa. So you could call those actions the giving of the candy, the giving of the nuts, like the Rambam says, the milsa de b'tchusa of the rabbah, the joke, setting the stage or creating the ambiance. But it's not yet the actual hashba. Like the Rabbi says, kigayna miras milsa de b'tchusa, like Rabbah said, the joke, lefnei ha-talmidim, ay meshichas ha-talmid ha-katan b'dvarim shehem ahuvim etzloi, or drawing close to the young student with words that are fun or beloved for him. Okay, so once the Rebbe explained the order of these steps, the first, there has to be the Indian of breaking down, as it were, the bittul, and only after that, when you become a kli mekabel, you're able to accept, then there has to be the metzias of your own seichel. So now the Rebbe says, "Kishem sheshleish hatnuas halalu nidrashes b'limud davar seichel chadash." Just like these three movements or aspects are necessary to learn something new, kain hugam u'mikol shekem mikal v'chomer. So it is, and how much more so? Kesha hanidun hushinui. Kol mitziusay shel adam ad lahafichusay lemitzius chadasha. How much more so these three steps are necessary when you're talking about changing the entire entity of a person and transforming them, as the Rebbe said, happened to us as a nation, Be'etias Mitzrayim, into a whole new existence. V'gam be'inyanenu, and so it is in what we are studying now. Beleidas ha'am ka'am Yisrael. When we were birthed, when we were born as the nation Am Yisrael, asher ha'gmar v'hashlema shela hayu kasher tavdun es elekim alahar hazeh. The completion of that process, the fruition of this came when we served Hashem on this mountain, Har Sinai. Hayetzayach b'inyanim elu. It was necessary for these three aspects to be part of this process. And this is how the Rebbe is going to relate it to the three names of the Yom Tov. Aleph. Kedei shebnei Yisrael yuchlu lekabel es haTorah, nihem ta'avdun, avoda v'yegia levatel es hatzir hakodem shelahem. In order to accept the Torah, first there had to be Ta'avdun es halekim alahar hazah. The Rebbe takes the word from the Torah that you should serve Hashem. There has to be avodah v'yegia, work and toil, to abnegate the tzior, the in which we found ourselves previously. Hamenugad l'Torah, and that was a form that was contrary to Torah. V'oid inim bazeh, and there is another aspect in this. Ta'avdun ka'avoidas eved. The word ta'avdun is obviously from the same etymon as eved, a slave. And what is the character of a slave? Ha'ay says, avoidasai bebitul u'bekabalas old. The character of a slave is that he does his work with bittul and with accepting the yoke of his master. Shechin, kidei lekabel es tayis Hashem, because in order to accept the Torah of Hashem, tzarech lehiskayim, there has to be nase and then nishma, that you do it with Kabbalah soul, and later do you necessarily understand it. Hagdamas nase lenishma. Doing it has to preface the understanding, the nishma. In a lot of other sikhas, the Rebbe also connects ibud, which means to tan, to take and to refine them, which is a very, very laborious process. And the Rebbe connects it to the inner spiritual process of taking something raw, a hide, and the work of processing it until it becomes something refined and supple and usable and very, very expensive. Beis, le'idach gisa. On the other hand, kiyum ta'avdon, eina ba'ofen ha'sheves metzias adam. But at the same time that we're talking about that we have to, in a state of bittul and kabbalas ol, we're not talking about being in a state that breaks your existence. Ela adrab, on the contrary, ze gufa hu etzem mitziusay. Shobatrehim kidogim v'yam. It's not that you break your this idea. You will carry with Kabbalah's soul. This is your mitzias. Because after all, B'nai Yisrael and the Torah are like fish in an ocean. They can't be separated from each other. This is our mitzias. This is our defining characteristic. Varizel derech mashadogim einam choytetzim ledash Shimon ben Gamliel. Shimon ben Gamliel taught that fish can never be a chatzitza because they're like part of the water. And like Chazal, there is no free person except for the person that is constantly engaged in learning Torah. It would seem, this is a famous question, it would seem that Torah is something that subjugates you. You become a slave to it. Can't eat this, you can't eat that. You can't go here, you can't go there. Can't do this. But no. The Rebbe says, Kiteva briusei ha'amiti shel Yehudi hu lekayim Torah mitzvos. Because the natural and healthy and true state of a Jew and his creation is to be mekayim, or kamayim haMishnah, like the Mishnah teaches, ani nivreisti l'shamish eskayni. I was created to serve my master. That's who I am. That's what makes me tick. V'lachein, kasher, and therefore, kasher Yehudi eino mekayim Torah mitzvos rachman l'slan. When a Jew is not observant of Torah mitzvos, unfortunately, even though it appears to him, he imagines that he is free of any subjugation to any all, to any help me somebody here, the English word for all, the Yiddish word is last,
yoke,
thank you. B'shaderech zu kala avur yoser mehakpoda al. And that this is a much easier life. This is a much easier way than having to be careful with Torah mitzvahs. Hine kivon shederech zu niul achayim shalei al piterech chas v'shalom. But because this way of living, conducting one's life that is not in accordance with Torah chas v'shalom, he ha hefech midrishas mehusoy v'tivoy ha'amitim. This is the opposite of what is called for from his essence and from his true nature, hare zu inin shel avodas perach. And therefore, that kind of life is called avodas perach. That was what the Mitzrayim, they gave them backbreaking work. Al derech maimer chazal, like the chazal teach us, and rash it down, shavodas That what was Avodas Perach, when men were made to do women's work and women were made to do men's work. You might say that for a man, it's easier to do women's work. That's till they know what women's work is. But when a man has so-called alleged easier work, for a man, it's Avodas Perach. Because it's not in accordance with what they're used to and with their intrinsic nature. And it's only when we are quote unquote in service, then we are actually free. And I want to just really share with everybody that if you want to learn something truly delicious, look at the Rebbe's letter that he issued, Yud Aleph Nissen Tav Shin Chai, where the Rebbe explains what is the inyan of true freedom. This idea that he kind of speaks about here, but in that letter, he breaks it down and just very, very quickly, he says that in the category of daimin, in the inanimate, right? What does a stone need to be free? A stone simply needs to be free, just exist. In the world of vegetation, the category of vegetation, a plant needs more in order to be free, in order for it to live, in order for it to not be strangled or shut down. It needs to have a plot of earth to which it's tethered, and it needs water, it needs nutrition. Some plants even need light. But then when you look at animal life, what does an animal need to be free? For an animal to be tethered to one spot, like a plant, to be solidly planted in one place and to be unable to move is the opposite of freedom. An animal needs to be free to roam, to find food, to protect its young, to procreate, and so on and so forth. And then a human being has all of those needs and more. Be free. A human being needs to be able to express his or her humanity, to be able to think, to be able to contribute. And a yid has a whole different level of needs, because for a yid, freedom is the expression of the neshama dafka. In other words, the Rebbe in that letter breaks down the idea that free the expression of your essence. And that's a very different freedom than is roundly accepted by the society around us. So it's not that freedom is that you do whatever you feel like doing. That's not freedom. You might even go as far as saying that that leads very quickly to enslavement, doing whatever you want to do. You become enslaved to your tibus. This is a very quick route to addiction of many sorts, and so on and so forth. But freedom is the expression of one's essence. Gimel. Al yidei matan Torah nasa b'vnei Yisrael shinui sheloi be'erach. So what happened at Matan Torah was that there was a shinui, there was a change, there was a transformation that's not quantifiable. Ad shegam avodasai shel Yehudi ta'avdun shelechayri hi avoyde b'medita b'hakbola. So much so that even the service of the Jew, and usually service can be quantified, it can be measured. It's usually behetim lagbolas mitziyosu. Usually the service of a person is in consonance with their capabilities. But the Rebbe said that the change that occurred to Bnei Yisrael, hipopnimiyusa, avoida, hakshur l'naisin hatayra, it was on the level of the innermost Torah that is linked and connected to the giver of the Torah, and therefore he lemaila mebedita b'hagbala. We became different people. We became a different Matthias. We became the Am HaTorah. And therefore we became people who transcend medita b'hagbala. And this is the content of the three names, Chag HaMatzos, Zaman Cheresenu v'chag ha-Pesach. Matzah Moira al Bitl. This is a basic thing in Chassidus. The Rebbe over and over tells us that matzah teaches the inyan of Bitl. It is a symbol of Heder ha-Hagbah v'his Nasus. The flatness of the matzah is the absence of arrogance and hubris. Cheresenu, Zman Cheresenu, Mer Shabitul Ze, Niklat Bimitsiusoi Shel Yehudi. Freedom, the name Zman Cheresenu, the time of our freedom, teaches and shows that this abnegation becomes so integrated in the existence, in the Matthias of the Jew, until when you look at this person, you can recognize, and it is felt, this idea of true freedom, which is the expression of one's essence. How do you see this? You see that this person has pleasure in who they are. It's not, it's such a lust, it's such a burden, it's such a yoke, it's such heaviness. I don't know how it is in your house, but every year in this house is discussion about what we eat and what this person eats and what that person eats, and we eat this and we eat. Enough already. I keep telling my kids what to eat. It's such a terrible thing that we don't eat all this junk that we eat a whole year, that we're eating healthy, actually, healthfully. Anyway, I digress. But the idea is to stop for you. You know that they recognize this and they understand this because they're exuding oinek, pleasure. Pleasure in who they are. And finally, Pesach, hu miloshen diluk. Pesach is the idea of leaping. It's connected to the idea of leaping. Hadiluk sheloi be'erach sheyia behuchrach liyois etel b'nei Yisrael. It's an exponential leap that by b'nei Yisrael. Mitzad hadiluk sheloi be'erach shenasa milmayla b'tias mitzrayim. This happens because of the leap, as it were, that happened. It's a vertical response to the leap that happened mil maila b'tias Mitzrayim matan Torah on the part of hatnua litzeis mehagbala shalhem ulahis alois lemokaim nala mehem shalay be'erach. It's a movement of leaving all delineation and all parameters and borders, and to alight and to rise to a place that is higher in a way that can't be compared. And the Rebbe says, "In achas ha'iros mizeh." So one of the lessons of this, ba'avedis Hashem shekol echad miYisrael, in the avedis Hashem of each one of us, reishis ha'avoda v'ikara v'shar shehi yira v'kabolas ol avodas eved, that the beginning of all avodas Hashem, axiomatic and the root is yira and kabbalas oil, and to be like an eved biram in truth. Havoida ainat zvich liyos mitoich atzvus chas v'shalom b'shvira, but this avoida should not take place from a place of sadness and brokenness chas v'shalom. Sharei v'amech kulam tzadikim, because we're all tzadikim. Your nation are all tzadikim. Ella, the only time that there's a place for sadness, im kein hem mit adam masach mavdil mechitzah olav lishbar oisam tchila. The only place for sadness and brokenness is if a person put into place a curtain and a divider that divides them from Hashem, chas v'shalom. That has to be broken first. L'shaber haklipas chulu al yedei shviras libay umiris nafshay. This klipa has to be shattered through a broken heart and bitterness of soul. But the Rebbe says, ki b'kedusha atzma, but in kedusha itself, ain't shvira. There's no place for brokenness. Kol hatzer b'tnuah shel meriras. v'leiv nishba v'ruach nemucha humitzad ha'shabahamis. The need for the movement of bitterness or awe and a broken heart and a lowered spirit, meaning the idea of bittul and kabbalas ol, it's because of the guf and the nefesh bahamis. Because when the guf and the nefesh bahamis, God forbid, are sovereign over us, then when a person is in a place of a broken heart and a bitterness of soul, because of the strength of the kedusha, then it breaks down the shlita of the guf and the nefesh bahamas. Aval mitzad nefesh halakis, but from the nefesh halakis, from the perspective of nefesh halakis, ain't shvira ela simcha. There's no place for brokenness. There's only a place for simcha, for happiness. Gam hehesber l'sipor haba, and this is also the explanation for the following. L'Rabbeinu Hazokin Hoysa Kufsas Tabak Mikesef. The Alter Rebbe had a silver tobacco box. L'loy Michse. It didn't have a cover. Ki b'michse ha-mavrik, because the cover that was very, very shiny, Hishtamish Rabbeinu Hazokin Kidei L'chabein Es HaTfilin Shebaraysh. The Alter Rebbe used it as a mirror to place his tefillin shebereish, to place it properly, like many men use mirrors. The Alter Rebbe used this shiny silver cover of his tobacco box. He wanted to make sure that his tefillin were in the middle of his head. Shemishu diber al kach bifnei hatzemach tzedek, when some and he expressed himself in saying that the Alter Rebbe broke off of the box. Omar al kach tzemach tzedek, the tzemach tzedek, my grandfather's inyan was not to break. Hu loy shavar zeis, he did not break the top of the box off. The cover was simply connected to the box with a thread, with maybe like a silver, very thin connecting wire, let's say. My grandfather simply took out this connective little wire. Now, story. The Rebbe says, "L'chayr, it would seem, af loy haya Rabbeinu Hazokin shevus hamichza, haria haya zelushim kim." Even if the Alter Rebbe would have broken the top off of this box of tobacco, it would have been for a mitzvah. Loy inishal shvir shla atzma. It wouldn't just be a destructive act. Chas v'shalom. He was doing it for a mitzvah. Acha inin, but the inin. Why would the Tzemach Tzedek so emphatic to correct what this person said? Because in Kedusha itself, there's no inyan of Shvira, there's no inyan of breaking on any level, and any iteration, any permutation, any shemetz. There's not even a tiny breaking. Said it was sure. He was absolutely, emphatically certain that the Alter Rebbe would not have broken anything. This is also something that we could, fabring about for a very, very long time. You know, that a tenua, that a movement of a Rebbe, a physical movement of the Rebbe, how much depth there is, and how much import, and how much instruction there is. And therefore, the bittul and the kabbalas ol that is necessary at the beginning of our avoda, like the Rebbe taught us in the sicha, first has to be chag hamatzos, which is bittul, then comes the Zman Chayrasenu, using your own cognition, understanding what it means to be free, and even reveling in that freedom, right? But the Rebbe says, Ba'avoda shel nefesh halakiz gufa, tzrichim liyos ba'oneg u'b'chayas. But in of the nefesh halakiz, we have to be in a state of pleasure and great, like, of enthusiasm and vivaciousness and exuberance. Mitach hechrech shezuhi hacheres ha'amitis u'metziusri ha'amitis shel is Yisrael. This is because of the emphaticness, I don't know that that's a word, with which we know that this is true freedom, that this is our true existence of a Jew. A novel thing happened today. We came in 1 minute before 11 o'clock. Since we have just another few seconds, if you could turn back to footnote 38. So I'll go back to the last paragraph in Se'if Hey. The last paragraph in Se'if Hey begins, Abol Eimur by Eides Hapa'ulis Diyamimi Karebes Hana'asais Kehachana Mukhreches Ukehagdama Lefnei Hashba. But we're not talking here when it says Smile Deiche, that first there has to be the pushing away on the left side. Or like the Rebbe is saying in this case, it's the Yira, it's the Kabbalah's all, it's the Bittul that has to precede learning. The Rebbe says, but we're not talking here about the actions that have to be taken, the Yamimik Rebbe's of drawing closer the student. That is simply a way of setting the stage and creating the ambiance and it's Hachana, it's a Nesachana before the Hashba. So now look at footnote 38. Laha. But yeah, I want to just mention, Dibriyase shel ha'olam, that in the creation of the world, he stated happened in the order, Dibereshe chashucha v'hadar nehaira. First there was darkness, and then there was light. Betchila tzimtzum, first there was the inyan of tzimtzum, tzimtzum harishon, first, the first step in the creation of the universe was tzimtzum, which is the inyan of smile deicha. Right, of contraction, of pushing away with the left, as it were, of obfuscation. And only afterwards was there light, which is the inyan of yamin mikarevis, etc., etc. Now skip the you know, where the Rebbe brings down the sources. Ubekama mikaymes, aval zehu binageya l'seida habriya bepoil. So first that there was tzimtzum, and afterwards the light. This is how the world was actually created. Okay, just like when you actually have to be mashpia, there has to be first the yira and then the understanding of your omatias. Aval sibas habriya, but what came before the tzimtzum came the reason for creation. Himepnei ki chafetz chesed hu. Because the Eibishter desires chesed. The Eibishter wanted to shower us with chesed. And this is in Yomim Mikarebis. And then the Rebbe says, to see more about this, you can look in Sefer Erchim, etc., etc. But the idea is that the Rebbe is showing us that at the beginning of time, you have the same Seder. You have the Seder of Yomim Mikarebis, which generally creates a desire to even be in that space that you could learn. But then, or for the learning to actually take place, there has to be this awe. There has to be this Kabbalah's all that I don't understand, that I ready myself to learn something new. I see the face of some and the names of some campus shluchos. I feel like in our current situation where everybody's so obsessed with creating a safe space, it's kind of the opposite exactly what the Rebbe is saying. Like there's no yira, there's no kabbalah sol on the part of the students. They're just monitoring how unwoke their instructors will be so that they can, you know, run to the head of the department and report them, so on and so forth. And that's why I think our young people are having such a hard time actually learning, because there's none of this awe. There's none of this acceptance that somebody might know something that I don't know yet. And even if it makes me uncomfortable, or it's new, or it's novel, or it stretches my horizon, and it's just leading to a lot of intellectual fragility. Anyway, that's just an aside. So that's our sicha for today. I wish everybody a good ma'id. And if people could just weigh in on if it's going to be possible to learn next Monday morning, because it's going to be Isru Chag. Should we just continue with our normal Seder Monday, or should we for one more week do Wednesday? What do people say?
Maybe Tuesday?
I'm just thinking if I can do Tuesday.
Or Monday could be okay.
You know what? I just realized. I just realized I can't do it. I'm gonna have another class on Wednesday morning. And Tuesday I can't do it either. I'm gonna have to stick with Monday.
That's fine.
Yeah. All right, everybody.
Thank you.
A good gebenstier, a good mayit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.